Let's go ahead and begin. Chaplain, if you would.
Let's have a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our county here. Lord, today I just want to lift up Washington, D.C. God, I just pray that that group would come together for the better of our nation. And Lord, we ask you to give our commissioners, judge wisdom today to make decisions and be good for our county. And Lord, we truly are blessed, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Look, work with me here. I'm going to try my best, but I can see we have a lot of folks here that are notables. I'd like to take a moment. If I miss you, I apologize. It's not intentional. I see Ms. Shanna Burke is here from Southeast Texas Regional Planning Commission. She's the director there. Appreciate you coming by. Lainey Brown from Congressman Babin's office. Chief Carroll from Vider PD. City Manager of Vider.
And Judge, this is Kimberly Stephen. She just got appointed Mayor of Vider.
Congratulations. Who am I missing here? Robbie, City Manager of Pinehurst. Robbie Hood. Who else?
Chief of Police Mike.
Yep. Where's Mike?
There's Mike right there. He's
I can't see him.
He's in a perfect line.
He doesn't like to be photographed.
Yeah, I think it's because he's short. I can't see him back there, man.
You want me to lay down, Judge?
Yeah, no, it's Mike covering him up.
Oh,
okay. Another Mike.
All right.
All right. Is there anybody that I missed? Okay. I appreciate y'all being here today. We will go ahead and start, as usual, open court session for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. Is there anybody that would like to speak? This house, I would assume quite a few.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the record, I'm Lainey Brown, Regional Director of Community Relations for Congressman Babin. As many of you have been reading in the news, and we've gotten several calls from our different city leaders and county leaders in regards to news reports that the president might be using funds obligated to Harvey Recovery to build the wall. And I'm pleased to say that Congressman Babin and several, two of the Texas senators and 21 other representatives sent a letter yesterday to the president. And with your permission, I'd like to read that.
Please.
Mr. President, the widespread flooding, storm surges, and high winds that resulted from Hurricane Harvey's landfall left many parts of the Texas coast paralyzed for months. Harvey leveled thousands of homes and businesses, altering many Texas communities forever. This disaster required a massive coordinated response of the state, local, and federal levels to help individuals restore their lives to normal as quickly as possible. Texas continues to rebuild through coordinated efforts at all levels of government, and important work is underway to mitigate against future storms. We, and the millions of Texas citizens we represent, remain thankful to the numerous federal agencies and first responders who coordinated and contributed resources and personnel. Shortly after the rain subsided, Congress swiftly acted by passing three separate disaster supplemental bills, including the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018, which contained over $15 billion for U.S. Army Corps of Engineers civil works projects. Recent reports have indicated that your administration is considering the use of U.S. Army Corps of Engineer funds appropriated by Congress intended for for Hurricane Harvey recovery and mitigation efforts in an effort to secure our southern border. We strongly support securing the border with additional federal resources, including tactical infrastructure, technology, ports of entry improvements, and personnel. However, we are strongly opposed to using funds appropriated by Congress for disaster relief and mitigation for Texas for any unintended purpose. As Texans continue to rebuild and prepare for future disasters, these funds appropriated by Congress to be spent directly on rebuilding and mitigation are critical to helping our communities recover, preventing future flooding, and protecting our constituents. Thank you for your commitment to help Texas respond to Hurricane Harvey and to secure the southern border. We ask that you ensure necessary efforts on border security do not jeopardize long-term hurricane recovery and mitigation in Texas. And I am also happy to report that, by all indications, that they will not be tapping those funds for Harvey. Thank you.
Before you leave, though, I'd like to also extend a thank you to Congressman Babin for something else he's working on with disaster recovery, and also the folks at the GLO who are also working with us on this. As a lot of folks know, we have a homeowners assistance plan that's already rolling. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just a reminder, it's still going on out at the Expo Center Tuesday through Thursday, and you can also go to 505 Orleans in Beaumont, and I believe that's 5 days a week. But they're also talking about a reimbursement program, and there was an issue with the reimbursement program that Congressman Babin, I know, is working hard on trying to fix, and the GLO is working with him, and I have faith that they will be able to get that fixed to include the small business loans that had been approved for people to recover. And he actually reached out to tell us about that and to tell us that he's working on it, and I wanted to tell him thank you for us.
I'll be sure to pass that along. Thank you. And I would like to add that this letter did have bipartisan support from both sides of the table, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lane.
Anyone else?
Well, those of you who don't know me, my name's David Bailey. I'm kind of bashful, so bear with me on this. I'm just going to make a statement, or more or less a question. As I understand it, the county is considering a forensic audit, and as a taxpayer, I would encourage it and support it. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Wait. Commissioner?
Good.
Okay. Just a brief announcement. As most of you already know, if you don't, we have a structural engineer that was assisting with our grant writing team and the emergency operations coordinator that was out looking at the park. We've got some discussion on that later with some other things, but while they were out there checking this out, getting a plan ready for what's called a 428, they found structural issues with three of the pavilions that they thought was a hazard. Now, again, we want our parks to be open, and we want people to be able to use them, and they're going to be. But we also err on the side of caution when it comes to people's safety. So for now, for those of you who don't know, Pavilions 1, 2, and 3 are going to be closed to the public. Ms. Gray is working on getting the alternate bathroom facilities out there for folks. We're still going to be able to use the rest of the park, and we are going to build that park back better than it was before is the plan. And with the help from Ms. Beward and the folks over there at the grant writing, and Sabrina and Joel and all those, we're gonna make sure we get that right. But for now, we have to look out for folks' safety, so those will be closed.
Judge, I do have one thing to add with that. That also gives us an opportunity, because we know we're working with the National Parks to do a total redesign of that park out there. And they're going to help us. They'll end up having some open houses to get citizen input, but there will be a total redesign to figure out what we can do. We can make it bigger, better. We can change a lot of things out there. So in a way, this might provide us opportunity to redesign those the way we want them. So there is a silver lining around that. So there is a lot of work going around that park, and a lot of folks don't know it, but Michelle and Sabrina have taken the lead on that, and they're doing a really good job of working with the Park Service. And once they get through with that design, they will put us in touch with some people that can provide us some grants on that, and they've led us to believe that we have a high likelihood of getting those grants with their stamp of approval on the design. So it is moving forward.
Let's see. Oh, yes, the other information, for those of you who don't know, I suppose I should let you tell them this. Not only did the county loan, the payroll loan we took out in November get paid off, and get paid off early, it got paid off earlier than we had anticipated. And I give thanks to the department heads, particularly our treasurer, for keeping a sharp eye on that and getting it paid off. As a matter of fact, I think she won the bet and got it paid off 5 days earlier than the early days we had planned. It was paid off on January 10th. Since then, we've also been notified that we have, and I believe the money has already funded, the second reimbursement check from Harvey has also come in. And this came after paying off the loan. And I believe that funded, what was that, Chrissy, Monday?
Yes, the
14th. It's approximately $2.2 million. Do you have the exact amount? If
$2,265,775.98.
So we are now putting it out to the department heads, those things that they had in their budget that we had asked them to hold off on for our cash flow issue. Now they can start moving forward and getting things taken care of. So, again, I thank everybody in the county for working with us on that. And now it looks like we can start moving forward and get some more things done. Anybody else wish to make a comment? Okay. Moving on to number two. Presentation by Allegiance Mobile Health regarding their ambulance services and the possibility of contracting in Orange County. Mr. Gillespie.
I appreciate your time this morning. My name is Dan Gillespie. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Allegiance Mobile Health. With me, I have Justin Cute, our Regional Vice President for our East Texas operations. In the interest of time, and this is, I know this isn't an actionable item for you guys today, so I'll keep it brief. And I put the bulk of the details in this binder for you guys to look over and make decisions on and questions on at a later time. But what we're here to discuss today is options. So we were contacted by a few stakeholders in the community that wanted to discuss options. Not all of the area in the county is looking to make a change, and we understand that, respect that, and some are. So what we wanted to do is kind of go over the data that we had reviewed and you know, put together a formal list of options for you guys to see of how we can help provide service to the community. Allegiance is a large company. We're actually the largest Texas-based EMS provider. We only serve the state of Texas. We own about 300 assets and serve about 30, just north of 30 901 communities, including Polk, Tyler, Jasper, and Newton counties. So we're very much local to you guys. One of the things that I think really causes Allegiance to stand out as a reputable 901 provider is all of the services that we've built in the communities that we serve are based on accountability and transparency. So one of the key questions that you guys have to answer to your constituents is, how many resources do we have dedicated to EMS response, and where are they located? And that is something that we can always answer for you guys, and then back that up through transparency and accountability. I think that the areas that were interested in discussing options with us could be well served by having dedicated services, and that's all highlighted in the packet that everybody was provided. And we'll certainly answer any questions that you guys may have on that. We're very well experienced in the delivery of 901 provisions, and we have a great deal of assets in this immediate area to help reinforce the system should any part of the county decide to want to partner with us. So with that, I'll turn the floor back over to you guys, and certainly anybody in the room that may have questions directly of us, and go from there.
One thing I'd like to ask is, it's my understanding, and Leon George is with us here today. He's kind of got a lot of information on this as well. But a lot of companies that come in ask for or require a subsidy to contract.
Correct.
It is my understanding that you are offering to partner with us with no subsidy, tax dollars being spent.
Yeah, so we reviewed the areas that may be interested in using us as an option, and we feel that the model that we have built and highlighted in the presentation can easily be accommodated without requiring any tax funding, any tax subsidy to offset the cost of readiness. And one of the key things in that is our ambulances, when we do a 911 contract, are reserved for 911 response only. And then we have a separate fleet of ambulances that we operate that handle transfers in situations like this. So that has, one, helped for mitigating any response time issues that may happen and level zero issues that may happen in the community. It also helps prevent burnout to our EMTs and paramedics. Many of the paramedics and EMTs that you talk to when they exit their employer is pure burnout. And with everybody experiencing staffing shortages, not only here but all over the country, we have to do our part to make sure that our employees are happy and comfortable where they work. So most of our 911 EMTs and paramedics live in the communities that they serve and want to stay in the communities that they serve. To reduce that burnout risk, we're not running them all over, having them do transports, transfers for hospitals and nursing homes, and do 911 responses. They get to stay in their district and run 911 calls for the district that they serve. So in our 911 areas, we have a very low turnover rate, which has helped us mitigate the staffing shortages that many ambulance providers face throughout Texas. So we work diligently to not only take care of our communities, but to take care of the people that wear our uniform as well.
And the way I'm reading it here, Orange County area coverage model, you have two 24/7 365 MICUs at ESD 1, one 24/7 365 MICU at ESD 3, and one 24/7 365 MICU station at ESD 4, and two non-dedicated MIC units for emergency and non-emergency transfer station and Vider.
Correct.
And you're thinking that is something feasible that you
yes,
could
sir.
Provide?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Would you like to explain a little bit the technical side of a medical ICU?
So MICU is paramedic level service. It's the highest. It's the highest state certification, other than SCT and critical care. But for the purposes of 901 reference, MICU is the highest level of care that you'll find in the field.
Given what we are with now and how it's set up at this time, do you think that this would improve response times in our area?
Based on the data and the information that we've been given, yeah, I think it would definitely help mitigate any delays and shortages of current ambulance resources. And absolutely having dedicated units to 911 placed in districts and stations, much similar to how your fire departments are established and your police departments are established. You have a set number of assets dedicated to a certain area, and they're not moved around. They're not responding to other counties for a reason. And EMS should be similar to that as well. The citizens in each location need to know that there's a certain number of EMS assets dedicated to providing service to them.
I don't want to use the H word, but assuming that you have some sort of disaster plan in case something like that were to happen.
Yeah, correct. So Allegiance has a huge presence down the coast, and one of the communities that we're absolutely proud to serve is Aransas County. And as you guys well know, Rockport took a direct hit. We were able to influx 60 ambulances into that community. And then not only Aransas County, we have a large hub in Corpus Christi and Portland, Texas as well. So that three-county area, we're able to handle between us and the Corpus Christi Fire Department exceptionally well and get the evacuations done and then continue to provide service throughout the relief efforts. If you contact the county judge or the mayor of those communities, I think all of them would echo that as well, that Allegiance had an absolutely stellar response, and I couldn't be more proud of our team for how they handled themselves during the storm.
I guess my question is, how would it work if you served the unincorporated areas and the cities chose to go another direction, because some of those concerns have been raised?
Yeah, so that's obviously something that we'd have to discuss. I know there's certain areas that are very happy with the service that they're receiving, and we certainly don't want to impede on any of that at all. Any of them that want to have the discussion with what we can provide for them, you know, we'll have those discussions and work out the details. Like I said, today we're just here to talk about options. We're certainly not trying to create a turf war. We're not trying to, you know, take over the whole county or anything of that. It's just we were contacted and asked questions about options and how we model our business. And if you follow Allegiance, you'll see that we have, you know, rapidly expanded over the last 4 years. And there's a reason why. It's not because we're, you know, buying up services and you know, that way. It's because of the quality of service that we provide. I think our team does an exceptional job of providing services to the communities that we're chosen to serve, and that's what has allowed us to continue to expand and serve additional communities. So, like I said, today we're here simply just to talk about options and any of the districts that are interested in exercising those options. We're certainly interested. We're here. We're local. We're willing to support the community any way that we can.
Well, I certainly appreciate the efforts to improve service, because often this is life and death stuff.
Yes, sir.
I mean, a couple minutes can make a big difference on whether someone survives or not. So I certainly appreciate the efforts. I appreciate you coming by and presenting today.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and all my contact information is in the packet. So if you guys have anything that comes up as you guys review this information in more detail, please feel free to call me, email me. You know, we can come by for a meeting, whatever you guys want. So,
okay. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Something that Commissioner Trahan said made me think that. Look, for most of y'all that know me fairly well, you know I'm a very big free enterprise person. I think that's the cornerstone of democracy. That's a cornerstone of what we're supposed to be living under. And one of the important points, one of the pillars of a free enterprise, is competition. I like the idea of having some other things here for comparison. I think it's a good idea for us to always look at these options so that we can make sure that our citizens are provided with the best. And I think in that regard, this is a good thing. You know, Commissioner was talking about working with the cities. If they like what they have, and I don't want to sound like somebody else, but if they like what they have, they can keep it. if they don't want to change, then they have an option. And that, to me, is the important part, having that option. I would like to invite, and you're welcome to refuse. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just throwing out the red carpet. Specifically, ESD 1, 3, and 4 were mentioned. Is there anybody here from those ESDs that would like to say anything? Anything at all with regards to this?
We're just here to listen to the presentation.
That's fine. One of the things that I would like to ask or throw out there, and I think this has been addressed, is you are looking at possibly housing ambulances at those locations if this is accepted.
Yeah,
is that correct? And that's not going to be a problem with you guys. That's all I really wanted to know. Okay, good. Leon, would you like to say anything with regards to this? Okay, anybody else have any questions while the company's here? All right. Well, thank you for your presentation, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to number 3, discussion possible action authorizing county treasurer to process payroll for pay period ending January 13, 2019, including all supporting payroll liabilities and garnishment orders.
So moved, Judge.
Second.
Okay. I'm going to have to get used to this here, so bear with me.
For the record, Judge, have we mentioned this?
You're absolutely correct. I forgot. Would you?
For the record, the commissioner... Precinct 2, Commissioner Precinct 4 are at Commissioner School. Learn how to do Commissioner this week. So they're out, but they're doing a continuing education and to better serve the county. So I just want to mention
that. Is that a 12-month school?
I apologize. Commissioner's right. I should have mentioned that at the beginning of the meeting. Okay, we have a motion by 3, seconded by 1. 1.
Hey.
Judge, aye. 3. Number 4, discussion possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court a direct deposit from the state comptroller of public accounts in the amount of $455,945.99. These funds represent the half-cent sales and use allocation for the month of November 2018 and have been credited to the general operating fund.
So moved.
Take it.
1 and 3. 1.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
Number five, discussion and possible action regarding filing in the minutes of the court revenue received from City of Pine Forest, check number 2038 for $155.55. These funds are reimbursement for road materials.
So moved.
Second.
Three, one, one.
Eight.
Judge, aye, three.
Aye.
Number six, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $71,849.50 to the Texas Association of Counties Health and Employees Benefit Pool from the General Fund 001-101-51270 for group medical, dental, life, and retiree insurance under the age of 65 years for January 2019. B, $1,150 to Claybar Funeral Home from the General Fund 001-111-54290 for indigent funeral expenses.
And also for approval on January 16, 2019, General Fund $204,734.45, Road and Bridge $2,590.97, Mosquito Control $250. Adult Probation, $597.27. Airport, $4,735.25. And other funds, $3,358.48, for a grand total of $216,266.42.
I move we didn't pay the bills as listed by the auditor.
Second.
One and three, one.
P.
Judge, aye, three.
Aye.
Okay. Number seven, discussion and possible action authorizing Orange Chamber of Commerce to use the administration building parking lot for Mardi Gras parade setup and takedown on February 23rd, 24th, 2019.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Yes, we are here to request the use of the county parking lot for the Mardi Gras parade for setup on Saturday and takedown on Saturday. Some of the things to note, we've done this for many years. We provide the county with an insurance certificate that names you as an additional insurer on that. We hire prisoners, the inmates to come in, clean everything up. Not just that parking lot, but the entire street where we're throwing beads. And this is a big community event. I've already talked to Sheriff Merritt about the parking lot will not interfere with the visitation on Saturday for the inmates. And I'll be happy to answer any questions needed.
Any questions? Sheriff, Bannon? Okay.
I make a motion we approve.
Three.
I'll second that.
One.
I just will need a copy of the minutes, so that's how I'll get the parade permit. Okay, thank you.
One.
Eight.
Judge, aye. Three. Okay, number eight, discussion and possible action regarding the acceptance of the Orange County District Attorney's Office racial profiling exemption and acknowledge the filing of same with the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. Anything?
The district attorney's office is exempt from filing the racial profile report because our DA investigator does not routinely conduct traffic stops. So this is just the court acknowledging that our DA investigator, Casey Bershears, has filed his exemption. It's an electronic submission, but I have a printout of where he electronically submitted it if you'd like to see it. But the court just needs to acknowledge that he's filed it.
Okay. Do y'all have to keep that on file at the clerk's office for record?
No.
Okay.
And there's really no action required on that. It just needs to be a not that we are aware.
Let's see. Number nine, discussion and possible action regarding a request for amended right-of-way assessment in favor of ExxonMobil at the Orange County Airport, as well as a related 60-day workspace agreement. The proposed right-of-way and easement would extend what was previously granted to Saucony Mobil Oil Company, Inc. in 1959. The action by the court may include approval for the Orange County judge or judge pro tem to execute all the necessary documents to effectuate the granting of the easement and temporary workspace agreement.
Sorry, I should have asked you before you read the whole thing. We're passing that today. I've not received word back.
I'd have had to read it anyway. Okay, so no action on that today?
Correct.
Any objections?
Nope.
Okay.
second, I got to catch up.
Number 10, discussion and possible action regarding line item transfer, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 3, from 001-227-54550, travel registration dues, etc., an amount of $1,780, to 001-227-57500, equipment non-inventory, amount of $1,780. The purpose is to provide funds for the remainder of the fiscal year. Does anybody hear from JP3? I don't think so.
They had a scanner go out. We talked to them. They didn't want to do this from their tech funds. And so that's, they have means to.
They got the money?
Still coming out of their budget, yeah.
Okay.
So move.
Three.
Second.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
It's rolling around a little quicker than normal.
Yeah.
Number 11, discussion and possible action authorizing the purchase of furniture for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 courtroom. It's a bid on some tables. Judge Jenkins is not able to be here today because he is also in training. So if y'all bear with me, I'll give you an idea of what this is. It's bid on tables. The amount of $1,246.46, bid on a judge's chair in the amount of $550, and bid on six other chairs, amount of $2,034. I think the question that they had, I mean, we can approve the action, but we're still going to have a transfer, correct?
Correct.
So we don't have a transfer yet. Do we know if they have it in the insurance funds? Because this is all from Harvey, if I'm not mistaken.
Basically, I sent a rundown to Bailey, as I don't really feel like it was the audit's job to do, but it was out there as a question. So we went through everything, and basically some of the things were on the claims list, some of the things were not. For example, the chairs for the courtroom were not, but the judge's chair was. The two tables for the courtroom were not on the hurricane claim list for insurance. So that is one of the reasons why it's coming before, in order to say, you know, what y'all want to do. Because you certainly can use the insurance meter. You can take it from contingency.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty much the two places that we have that we can, or you can go back and I don't know if we can still, if Missy's here, file an additional claim for those items. But we went back and looked at what was on the claims, what got reimbursed from the claims, and what was left over.
That's the same. So have y'all looked at the balance of what's left over to what they're trying to purchase, so to know what, how much we would use from there to,
yes,
how much we would move from contingency?
Do you have that, Judge? I didn't bring that with me, but I want to say it's around $1,400 that was left over from what we had moved from contingency previously for JP and Constable, because those two were put together,
mm-hmm,
for the Precinct 2. And say it's around $4,300-$4,400 as to the rest of the information.
Okay, and does any of that, because we're falling out of contingency, does any of that have to go to the bid process, Connie?
Oh, it's coming off of one of the state contracts.
So it's, okay, so we use a contract. So there's nothing, they weren't going outside of that then?
Do we have any surplus items that they could use out of this? There's nothing available.
You said you sent a message to my office. I talked to Judge Jenkins. That's why I knew he wasn't going to be here. And I think that it would probably be better if you got with them to find out if these are new items they didn't have before that weren't claimed, because I can't answer that.
I understand that. We sent that to everyone, including Bailey, who was asking the question, and so we sent it back to Bailey as well as.
So you didn't get a response from Judge Jenkins or his office?
No, I have not.
Okay. So we don't know which of these were actually damaged items. They're looking for insurance or if some of these are, I assume there was a judge's there, chair there before, if it just wasn't claimed or what?
The judge's chair was claimed.
Was claimed. Okay. The other chairs went. So really the question is how much money we're going to use from the remaining $1,400 insurance, which isn't a question. We know how much that is. It's how much we need from general fund contingency so that we can move it over. And so we really can't do the action until we know
we
that.
And we have all that still in the insurance because we took it from contingency previously because it was prior to the insurance coverage. And they needed a place to sit and they needed
I understand that. Yeah, so I just think, but I don't know what action we can make without doing that.
And we have another one right after.
I know.
So
one of those are the same that we could do until we know.
Do we know anything on the tables for $1,246? If that was insurance related or not?
It was not on the claim that we could tell.
Okay, so the only thing that was on the claim was the judge's chair, $550, that we know for sure was on the claim.
Correct.
Okay.
And what's proceeding, the next item that's
The cabinets that we haven't got to yet.
My question is, why weren't the other things claimed, and do we still have that ability?
I don't know, and that's what I was going to suggest, is the only way to find that answer out is to speak with that office.
Yeah.
So if y'all could work that out, whoever wants to come and tell us, it doesn't matter to me, but I'm not going to know in my office which was claimed and which wasn't. Missy was here a moment ago.
I think that should go through risk management.
I think Missy and Kurt.
I saw her a second ago, and I didn't.
I think we just need a little bit more information.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So perhaps that should be our answer to them now, is to let them get with Missy and work that out, what was claimed, what wasn't. If it wasn't claimed, why wasn't it? Is it new? Is it not new? Again, I'd love to help you, but my office isn't going to know those things.
Yeah.
So if we could get that through them, that would be great, and then we can worry about which item it comes out of. So no action on that today?
Yeah. No action on, I would say, that 11 and 12.
Yes, I agree.
I'll still have to read 12. On 12, it's discussion of possible action authorizing the purchase of a two-drawer filing cabinet for the Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 office. The bid on the filing cabinet is $341.08. And you said you do not know if this one was or wasn't?
Basically, what they had was whenever we moved from contingency before, they got a five-drawer. Previously, on the claims, they had a four-drawer and a three-drawer. So if you take each drawer, there's two drawers. So
you add them up.
Do you know offhand? I know. I just asked this. Just bear with me. Do you know offhand that was that claimed before? That was a damage.
A four drawer and a three drawer were claimed.
Okay.
And they got a five drawer.
So we're two drawers short.
There we go.
Well, actually, we could take action on that one to go ahead and allow it to go through. We know we'll have to do a line item transfer next week, but we could go ahead with that action if we chose to.
But then it's still coming out of the $1,400 of leftover insurance money. That's part of that same.
Line. We know that, though, on this one, just not on the other ones. I couldn't answer you on the other ones. Do y'all want to go ahead and take action on this one today, and then we'll have to have a line item for it next week?
We can.
Okay. Then I go ahead and I'll make the motion. I move that we go ahead and approve the request for the cabinet pending the line item transfer on next week's agenda from insurance money.
Second.
I know that wasn't a fancy way to say it.
I was trying to figure out exactly what you said.
Well, I just want to make sure that next week it is coming out of the $1,400 from insurance payments, since we're apparently paying by the drawer. I got a motion for me, seconded by 3-1.
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3?
Aye.
Okay. 13, discussion of possible action on a bid submitted on the following trust property. There's only one, account number 00731100310, case number A160028-T. Property location is 4415 Brown in Orange, and I think the offer was
$2,100. Yes, sir. This property here, the pictures that they sent you had a house on it. But the city of Orange went and destroyed, tore the house down. So this piece of property is right next door to her, and so she wants it, and I just recommend that we go ahead and move forward and put it back on the tax roll. Get some money coming back in some kind of way.
I was looking at the picture. I was thinking if the house had been torn down, it needed to be.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it was in sad shape. We had somebody that came in, and he wanted to look at it, and he calls me back. He says, Karen, he says, this doesn't have a house on it. I said, yes, it does, because I had went earlier, you know, and saw there was a house on it.
Yeah.
And so I drove out there, and I checked it out myself, and the house is gone. It's cleaned off and whatever. And so I contacted the city, and that's how we found out that the house was torn down.
Yeah. Well, I try to go look at a lot of these if I get an opportunity to, and I thought I was in the wrong place. I kept looking at the address, and said, I know I'm in the right address, but there's no the house that I looked at wasn't there. So, yeah, it already tore it down. Well, that's good.
This happens occasionally.
Yes. Occasionally, yes. We've asked them to notify us for in case we do have a bid on it. You know, but
they... You mean they don't notify us in those orders to mow the lawn?
Don't even get me started on that. No.
Okay, do we have a motion?
So moved.
One.
Second.
Three. One.
Hey.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
All right.
She's back up.
Number 14. I'm sorry. Number 14, discussion and possible action regarding the certification of the December 2018 collection report for the tax office as required under PTC
38. Total collections for December were $19,006,772.22. The county's portion of that was $4,484,422.11, and that's what helped Chrissy pay the loan off.
Thank you, Sue.
Because trust me, she was calling my office. Okay, where's the collections?
Did you have any of you done the percentage lately on where we were at in relation to previous years?
Well, like it says, it's 19.55, which is a little bit higher than what we were last month, you know, time I gave the presentation, but we're a little down.
From previous year.
From the previous years, yes. And the only thing I can say to that, Commissioner Gauthier, is that last year we were still dealing with Harvey, and FEMA made people pay their taxes before they got any of the loans.
Yeah, okay.
And so but we're kind of worried also, because usually by now in our office, we usually have boxes of unprocessed mail that we just haven't been able to do. And currently, we are staying on top of everything.
Yeah, okay.
So we're able to keep it processed as it comes in. So,
you said you were worried. What are you worried about with that regard?
Well, it's because I don't know if we're not receiving the mail or... you know what I'm saying? There,
yeah, we know we still have some issues with our mail, with the mail services catching up.
Yes, and because during the holiday season, they just put the mail off to the side and was delivering packages and stuff, and so we don't know if we collected all our mail, like, you know, if all the mail's been properly processed like it should be or not. Yeah. But
I don't know, sometimes some days I'd get no delivery, some days I'd get it twice.
Yeah, you just don't know, but yet they want to raise their stamps. Mm-hmm. 19.5.
I move to accept the report.
Mm-hmm. A second.
One and three, mm-hmm. as presented by the tax assessor collector.
Tax assessor collector.
Yes.
One.
Eight.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 15, discussion and possible approval of the replat of lots 13 and 14 in Greenwood Acres, Section 2, Block 9, into lots 13A and 14A. Greenwood Acres is a subdivision in Precinct 2. The owner of lots 13 and 14 desires to reconfigure the lot lines to make these long, narrow lots into one that are more rectangular in shape. The Orange County Drainage District has reviewed and approved the change. Both lots will continue to have access on the existing subdivision streets. The property owner has provided a certification that all taxes have been paid on the lots and has provided payment for the reproduction costs and filing fees.
Yes, sir, Judge. I have the plat for y'all's approval and signatures, and Clark had another obligation.
You got to tell them who you are since you're filling in for Clark.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
Trey Gilbert, Roden Bridge. And anyway, it passes all our subdivision rules and regulations.
Okay.
And, here for signature.
Yeah.
So and you have no special, concerns.
And you have the special pen.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We need to vote the approval in first, though, Judge.
Well, before you sign it, I thought you were reviewing it.
Yeah. All right. I make a motion we vote to approve. We have to do that first.
Before you sign it?
Before you sign it. That's what I'm waiting.
But I thought you wanted to look at the map before you approve.
No, I'd say it's in it.
That's okay. We have a motion from three?
Yeah, and I'll second that.
One.
Hey.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
I thought you were going to have a whole bunch of questions for him or something.
Oh, no questions. Other than, you know, what Clark was doing.
You're welcome to put absent. I'm sure your handwriting is better than mine.
He's with Don Corona and then Brent Pavetto.
Oh, yeah, I'm not just kidding. I was just putting the best ones.
Yeah, they're reviewing where the lady.
All right.
Yeah.
That's okay. Just note that I'm doing it.
Okay.
I don't have very good handwriting, so I try to.
Oh, you ain't seen mine other than when I scribble. My scribble's not a whole lot better than my detail. It's not bad.
The lots were shaped this way, which
actually went longer than I thought it was going to.
Shows how the lots.
No, we were going to have all that.
And they just made them easier for you to focus.
Probably one there.
Well, if you take the 5-hour one that we had a couple weeks ago and this one, it's going to average out pretty good.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. Poor Dave, he went through that whole one last week.
He's a trip. Hey, don't take off. I need to get with you before you leave. Okay. Number 16, discussion and possible action regarding adjourning Commissioner's Court meeting.
So moved.
Second.
1 and 3. 1.
Hey.
Judge, aye. 3.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 10:51.